No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder more or less than running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me what the hell is going on.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here it is, the Rusty Satellite Show, number 22. This is Rick Redding, back with you again. A great week going on. Remember, this is the show featuring the most interesting people in the Ville. And we have two more interesting folks today, Mark Carter of Passport Health Plans and Emily Gimmel. Entrepreneur and owner of a business called The Grace Ship, you'll be hearing about a lot about very soon. But I've been hesitant to write or get involved in anything about healthcare because it's one of those issues that's too big. I do keep up with the rhetoric in the media. It's become such a political issue with Obamacare and how Republicans seem to be critical of anything having to do with the president, and the other side saying that this is really what we need to replace the current system, which is really not working. So there is a lot of discussion. I don't pretend to be any kind of expert on healthcare, but I got sort of an expert on the show this week, and that's Mark Carter with Passport Health Plan, which happens to be our primary sponsor here on the show, and very happy to have Mark. A few years ago, just a little background on Passport. Passport is supported. It's a Medicaid program, and it is tied to state government. And a few years ago, the organization got in a lot of trouble. Highly publicized, controversial scandal because some of the leaders of the organization were, some would say, misusing company funds. They were going. There was a lot of travel, a lot of questionable travel by two of the executives of Passport, and the company came in for a lot of negative publicity and some tongue lashing from the governor, all that kind of thing. And what eventually happened was they cleaned house on the executive level, and they brought in Mark Carter to run the show. Mark had a great history as a CFO. Had been in the hospital business, had been with Jewish, and it's a funny story how we met. We talk about it in the piece here, but Mark and I were attending a GLI function a few years back and struck up a conversation. Turned out he was a big reader of my blog, and we sort of struck up a fast friendship, and Mark eventually was a supporter of my other blog projects, and he's become a good friend, and so I'm really glad to be able to get Mark on the show this week. So I got plenty to talk about, but I'm going to turn it over here to my interview with Mark Carter.
What is Louisville if it's not a food town? Learn where to go and what to eat on Deliciously Louisville with Ashley Eats every other Wednesday on Louisville.am.
And here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to be joined by Mark Carter, who is the CEO of Passport Health Plans. Mark, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Rick.
It's great to have you here. I was just thinking about it as I was coming in here in your offices here on Preston, how we met, which was a really odd, fortunate, serendipitous thing that I remember. I was attending a GLI function and by myself, and you just happened to be sitting right next to me.
Well, I was actually there by myself also, as I recall.
We both needed dates, I guess. But we struck up a conversation. The way I remember it going, and you can tell me if it was different, is we didn't know each other, and I started talking about what I did, and I was blogging at the time, and it turns out you were familiar with the blog.
That's true, and I was very interested in what you were doing, and an amateur blogger, if there's such a such a thing myself. Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and at that time, I guess you were transitioning from one position to the other. But now, you know, let's just skip ahead now, and you can give me some background on that. But you certainly found yourself in the news a few years ago with Passport, and now things seem to be running pretty well out here.
Yeah, I actually, you know, as we're doing this, you know, we had some inclement weather yesterday, and then it's a beautiful day today. And I was telling a group earlier today, it was sort of a metaphor for what we've been through at Passport. We had some stormy times, I guess, back in 2010 and 2011 with this, you know, state auditor review of Passport that was critical of the plan. But today, we have a state contract that runs through the middle of 2015 that is renewable for 3 years after that. And we're expanding outside of this region to the rest of the state. And so the the weather is kind of sunny and clear today.
Well, you told me that, I mean, for our listeners, just give a brief, your elevator pitch about what Passport really is and what it does.
Well, I consider Passport is a, I guess, by strict definition, it's an insurance company, and we're regulated by the State Department of Insurance. But in my mind, Passport is really more of a coordinator of care, and it's an entity that works with its providers, essentially doctors and hospitals, health departments, essentially to try to coordinate the care for Medicaid patients to improve the quality of care that they receive, and to try to do that at an economical cost. And so that's, you know, we're very mission-oriented around trying to do the right things for members to help improve their quality of life.
And that whole space, I guess, of interest, because I've seen a lot of advertising here recently, not only Passport, but your competitors, it seems to be, lack of a better term, a land grab, I guess, for all these companies seem to be building their brands.
Right. Yeah, and it's essentially the state changed their policy towards the management of the Medicaid program to essentially outsource it to competitive plans. And so they want the plans to compete with each other to build their membership. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of advertising now from the various plans, including Passport.
Okay. Now, in my mind, Mark, that qualifies you as an expert in healthcare. So,
if such a thing exists,
how can we figure out for your average Joe, or I mean, what is really going on with Obamacare and healthcare? I hear everybody on the right criticizing it. I hear everybody on the other side saying it's great. I mean, how does it fit into us here in Louisville, Kentucky? And I guess as far as if it has an effect on Passport.
Well, it has an effect on Passport, and really what Obamacare is trying to do is to set up a more efficient insurance market. It's essentially a market-based reform of the system. And if, you know, in Kentucky, the insurance exchanges, which is essentially allows you to go onto a website and compare insurance plans in a more efficient manner, it actually is working. And there are something like 50,000 people who have gone on the website, completed their eligibility. I think one thing that's different for Kentucky is that because we're a poorer state, if you look at the way Obamacare is structured, you know, 400% of the federal poverty level encompasses the vast majority of Kentuckians. I mean, federal poverty for a family of four is somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000. So, you know,
so that was my question. Why is Kentucky seem to be one of the few states that's doing well with the website and with the plan? And I guess the good news is we're so poor.
Well, that's part of it. Is I think the state really did a good job of building the website. And you know, it's one where you get into the state versus federal argument, uh-huh. which way is the better way to approach things. I think this one, Kentucky's demonstrated that the state having some control over what they do is a good thing. In that respect, I think Kentucky's been actually has been a bright spot for the rest of the country in terms of how this has rolled out.
Well, how do you think that you know, obviously politics play a big role in this whole healthcare debate, and it almost you almost feel like some people are hoping that it fails just so that mm-hmm. they can get the political advantage of being able to get people elected that opposed it in the past. I don't know. Do you see it as something that is as divisive as I see it?
Well, I think it has been. There are folks on the political extremes that want to demonize the reform. I think what's interesting to me is that if you really look at it, it's modeled after Massachusetts, which was essentially a market-based effort at reform by a Republican governor, albeit perhaps a more centrist Republican.
Well, they don't want to admit that Romney was behind that, right?
Right.
Or they'll say that's why he lost.
I think the thing, whether you're on the right or the left of this, the thing is the system was broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, costs were going up at double-digit rates. Our quality, people want to rave about the healthcare system in the United States. Well, it is a good healthcare system if you're extremely sick or you've been in a trauma. But if you look at preventative care and compare the U.S. with other industrialized countries on things like infant mortality, mm-hmm. Life expectancy, it's not the best health system. So we had escalating costs, dubious quality when you look at it that way. And so the system needed to be reformed, and something needed to happen. Now, was Obamacare perfect? Probably not, and time will probably show that it wasn't. But what we were doing before wasn't working either.
Right.
So for me, it's we needed to try something, and you need to give it a little bit of time to see whether it'll work. If it doesn't work, let's try something else.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you about this, because it comes right to my mind. Here in Kentucky, we're at the bottom of every health statistic. We have more smokers, we have more obese people, we have more diabetes. We're at the bottom of every list. I mean, is the new situation with healthcare going to help us at all with those things? Because you mentioned preventative care and education, I guess, are the things that do the most to combat that.
Right. Well, it's so complex, and this is part of the reason why I kind of view Obamacare as incremental reform. I think it's being positioned as this move, depending on your persuasion, it's a move towards socialized medicine, but really it's incremental reform. And the system is so complex, and it's not just healthcare, it's the whole social impact. As you mentioned, education levels, all these things have to be addressed at once. And I think that probably what we're going to see 4, 5, 6 years out with Obamacare is that it made some short-term positive impact, but in terms of systemic change, it won't accomplish what it was intended to. And that's going to drive us to actually having a conversation as a country about single-payer health systems, or do we just completely go to a market-based approach and everybody's on their own? If they make bad choices in their personal life, then they pay the price.
Exactly. That's one of the ultimate things I see down the road is all the emphasis in our society about healthy living, and those who choose to ignore it, choose to be obese, or they choose to be have a lot of sodas, or they choose to eat trans fats, whatever they choose to do. They choose to smoke, they choose to drink too much, I guess they get penalized in the long run,
right?
Other than just getting penalized for what those things do to you,
right? It's such a complex situation. It just doesn't lend itself to slogans and sound bites. And I think the unfortunate thing about our political environment is that it prevents us from actually having a thoughtful discussion about what the right approach really is. And it's just not something that you can. you know, you can distill down to a soundbite.
Yeah, yeah, and, because it seems like, you know, and I know where I stand, but, you know, Republicans seem to be, like, just trying to demonize the whole thing, and almost Democrats, because that's where I see it, where I get my news, I guess, is they're trying to make fun of the Republicans.
Right. And,
you know, either way, it's I guess it's unhealthy for the country.
Yeah, I think so. I, you know, it's when I was working with the Health Enterprises Network, we had Regina Herzlinger, who is a Harvard professor and very much a proponent for some sort of market-based or approach to the system, and she argues very persuasively that if you look at other industries like the like computers, mm-hmm. you know, you now in an iPhone you have more computing power than, you know, you had in the first computers that introduced by IBM in the 50s. Well, that's true, and they were market-based, market-driven innovation, and so, you know, she argues very persuasively that that's the way we should be going in terms of looking at reforms mm-hmm. to the healthcare system. But then you can have another speaker who will come in and argue just as persuasively that we ought to go to a single payer, you know, government run system by just expanding Medicare to the entire population. So, you know, where's the right answer? That's a much more nuanced discussion that we would need to have as a country, and hopefully we will.
Yeah, hopefully we will have more than this 12-minute conversation, which is about over, Mark. But, again, very interesting to see you again, talk about Passport Health Plan and what's going on in our country with healthcare. Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, a big thank you to Mark Carter for coming on the show this week. I really enjoyed going out there. Their offices are out in off Preston, just outside the Snyder in Commerce Crossings, and really nice facility, great space, great people out there. So always fun on the Rusty Satellite Show to go and visit my guest and their environments. And my next guest is in a very interesting environment. We'll talk about it in a second. But first, I wanted to get to a few stories been in the news this week. A lot of times, you know, I'm sitting here in a room by myself, so nobody's here to ask me this question. So here's the question I'm asking myself. Hey, Rick, what did you do this week that was interesting? Well, now that you've asked, here's the story. I went to a breakfast the other morning put on by Business First. The featured speaker was President James Ramsey of the University of Louisville. And as you may or may not know, former Rusty Satellite guest Mark Hebert is Ramsey's spokesman and media relations guy. And I was just very interested in what Ramsey had to say. He is a tremendous representative of the university. He's really smart. He has this humble background. I've seen him several times, and he talks about being from Fern Creek, and he went to Western to college, and rose up through state government, and he's really good at, I guess, deflecting criticism. The university's been, you know, there were a lot of questions about the university's involvement in development downtown with the Nucleus building. Some in the real estate community have been critical of U of L over that program. If you read Insider Louisville, you know that they just had a tenant move there from the Meidinger Tower, the Brown Williamson Tower. Anyway, somebody a big tenant moved from one to the other, and you know it caused some criticism. But the University of Louisville, there's a lot of money involved in everything that goes on over there, and Ramsey oversees everything from athletics to the hospital to the professors on campus. And there were questions about when controversial things come up under Ramsey, he seems to handle it very well. I guess I should credit Hebert for that. He seems to coach him well on what to say. So anyway, that's one thing I did this week. I noticed several stories. There was a story in Insider Louisville also about GLI this week, and Craig Richard, the head of GLI, the organization's been under some fire in recent months. In September, got rid of a lot of their top managers, and a story came out last week that GLI was under further financial difficulties. And the report, Richard had to send this memo to the media. He blamed the media for getting the story wrong about how far underwater the finances were, et cetera. And it is a challenging situation for him over there. And I'd urge you to read, if you're interested in this GLI stuff, go to Inside of Louisville, read their piece on, because I think that's the thing about the media. You know, business first, you know, I like them over there. I used to work there, but I don't think you're always going to get the straight story on GLI. They're in a partnership over there. And the Courier-Journal has just ignored all this news about the number one economic development organization in the city. It's mind-boggling to me how the Courier could ignore this huge story. But, you know, that has to do with their being shorthanded. I found out this week, I learned that they have lost 11 reporters who have left voluntarily within the last a couple of months or so. 11. Not layoffs, not people being fired, people who have left. Some of them have went to WDRB. There's been some that went to the Louisville Public Media that's been well publicized, but other ones have gone into private businesses, working for the government, and it's left the Courier really short staffed because it's very difficult for them. Gannett is not putting up the money to go out with the big salaries and hire new people, and it's just going to be interesting. I'm going to try to talk to some folks over there in the coming weeks, and we'll report back to you on what I find out if there's a new strategy over there at the Courier. Now, there was another story in the news this week that I just have to comment on. It sort of really irritates me the way the sports media in this town reacts because, you know, number one, so many people pay attention to it. Maybe I'm just listening to too much talk radio. I don't know. But this Kevin Ware story, apparently Kevin Ware borrowed a car on a Saturday night and drove down to Bowling Green to see somebody who attends Western. That seems like, you know, an innocent enough tale. What happened was about Barron County, Ware was driving through a work zone or a construction zone, got pulled over going 95 miles an hour. Okay. So Ware is a celebrity. He's a public figure. And you know, I don't know how I would have handled being a public figure at age 23. I know that it would have been difficult. And I think it is for Kevin, even though all the spotlight that's on him, that's been on him since his injury last year or earlier this year, it's very difficult. But the media just went crazy, especially, I'm going to point the finger right at the UK fans. The stuff I heard, the way it was blown out of proportion by the media, it's just, I don't know, it just irritates me, I guess. The story was basically hashed out. It dominated the news on, I think, Tuesday. It just dominated everything that was going on. And even though the U of L had a game that week, Rick Pitino had to address the issue. He spent a lot of time on it. And, it really, I think it's going to turn out to be nothing. But they had to investigate the guy who owned the car. It was a fellow U of L student. And, I guess what really irritates me about this whole thing and the whole rivalry between U of L and UK is that the focus is not on what's going on the playing floor. It's like the UK fans just pounce on any opportunity to criticize U of L. I don't know, I guess that's what makes the world go round around here. But, I guess I'm like a lot of fans. I wish they just leave that alone and let the kid admit. He admitted he made a mistake. It was nothing more than a traffic ticket. Rick Pitino said that, you know, he wasn't going to discipline and kick him off the team. It's a traffic ticket. And how serious is that? Well, it's a mistake. But you and I and everybody else we know has gotten a traffic ticket before. Yeah, he was driving at excessive speed. But, again, the attention that the story got, where it dominated the story about what was going on with the team, was excellent. U of L beat Hartford 87-48 the other night. This is really an outstanding basketball team. I think they could split them in two and go and win a lot of games. So anyway, that's my take on the Kevin Ware situation. A couple other little items in the news. I hope also to get somebody soon from Kentucky Kingdom on the show, namely Ed Hart, because now they are selling season passes. So this is a real thing. Kentucky Kingdom is going to open next year. If you can believe it, they're selling tickets. It's $59.99 for a season pass over there. They've got a lot going on. There's a lot of activity at Kentucky Kingdom, so that's something for all of us to look forward to. It's a good thing to think about as the weather turns colder, that someday it's, we know in the spring it's going to get It's going to get warmer. And I had one last story I wanted to mention also, and that is there was a hearing, and we won't hear about the results of the hearing for some time, but you know, it's one of my pet issues, the Kentucky's antiquated alcohol laws. And this week there was a hearing that the you know that in grocery stores around here, you cannot buy wine and liquor. And you can do so in drug stores, and the rules are just, they don't make any sense to me. But the people, you know, who run groceries, they have set up separate stores. They've had to do all this work. Now, if you go over in Indiana, I've been over the Meijer right across the river in New Albany, and they have this wonderful selection of wine and liquor right there in the middle of the, I think it's near the deli or whatever. But it's big, and it's, you know, I'm just in favor of free choice, and it's a legal product, and whatever reasoning behind the rule that you can't sell wine and liquor at grocery stores in Kentucky, certainly I think that law needs to be changed. Some movement has been made this week, moving it forward. But then again, all the media reported that this hearing was going to take place on Tuesday, but no one knows, you know, what the result of that is going to be. So hopefully in a few weeks, we'll have something to report on some progress in making a change in Kentucky's alcohol law. So anyway, on to my next guest. It's Emily Gimmel, and Emily is a delightful young lady. She's you remember her from the Southern Belle's reality show that she was on. It was based in Louisville. She and four other women were basically featured in this production of this reality show. I think it was on SoapNet. I doubt that the ratings did well outside of Louisville, but it, you know, I really enjoyed the show. It was visually, it really showed off the city of Louisville, and you know, some of the reality, you know, the stories of these women and their lives. You know, it came into some criticism. It was something we all talked about a few years ago. And so Emily at that time was a television reporter, and she since moved to Las Vegas, worked in the industry out there in terms of being a reporter in the entertainment industry. And she came back home and started a business. And it's really interesting to see her success as her company called Grayship makes bags for women to carry their computers around in, and Emily will tell you the story about how she started the business. But she's got a very interesting office. I was greeted when I walked in by Harper the dog is the first thing you see or hear when you walk into the office. There, it's down at the Butchertown Market down on Story Avenue. It's a really interesting place. You ought to get down there, especially in the holiday season. There's some great shopping to be done, and you know, it's all local people, local stores, and there's a little restaurant there called the Jackknife I just found out about. So it's a really cool place. And Emily was gracious enough to spend a little time with me and talking about our past and our future and her business.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, and here we are in the Rusty Satellite Show. I am in Butchertown, and sitting across the table from me is Emily Gimmel. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know. It's really interesting. I got a press release from your office and thought, wow, Emily Gimmel, what a great guest that would be for this show. We have a little history, right, between us?
I think a little bit, yeah.
Okay, how do you remember it? Because I know how I remember it.
Just always being very opinionated, I think, in your blog posts and different writings online, which can definitely be appreciated. I think having an opinion is definitely better than not having one at all. So, yeah, just very outspoken, I think, when it comes to some of my career involvement.
I just had fun with Southern Belles, which was really a cool, we were just talking, I really enjoyed the whole thing of watching the show. And a lot of people made fun of the different characters that were doing certain
odd things in their personal lives, but I think it took a lot of courage to put that out there.
Well, you know, it's what you sign yourself up for. It was a lot of fun. I met some amazing people and producers doing it. It was a lot of work, but you sign up for a reality show, I think you're asking for it. So it's all in good fun.
That's true. And you knew that, you know, someday you'd get to 2013 and hardly anybody would remember it, right?
Right.
But you do have a career. You're from Louisville, and you have a career in media, and you were in TV for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing something totally different. Tell us about that.
I now own a business called Graceship. I design, sell, manufacture designer laptop bags and briefcases for women. The idea actually came when I was traveling for television. I was going back and forth actually with Southern Bells, and I needed to work on the road. And I couldn't find a computer bag that I liked anywhere. Everything was just too masculine or too sporty or just...
Because it's all about how you look when
you're carrying
it. Right.
You got to look good as well as, you know, while you're on the road. So never know who you might meet in airports. So, I wanted something that was very fashionable but also functional. And there just didn't really seem to be any product like that on the market. So I actually, I did a lot of research. And a couple of years later, I packed up, moved... Sold half my house. I was living in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and moved home to Louisville to start Graceship.
Wow. Well, very cool. Well, I know, anybody that travels and has a computer, what a hassle it is. You have to go and you've got to open your computer bag, take your actual computer out, show it to the guy, make sure there's nothing in there or whatever. So that is sort of what inspired you, the whole waiting in the line and
it's men in general are, very simple. But women, I think, we've got our purse, you've got your carry-on, you've got your suitcase as well. And I really wanted to combine the products of a laptop bag or a briefcase and a purse into one. There was really no need to have to carry two bags around, whether you're going to a meeting, if you're going to dinner and drinks after work, or if you're going, across the country on an airplane. And it was such a hassle. So to be able to consolidate made life a lot easier and also a lot more attractive, I think.
Yeah, of course. But it's not just making bags now. The process of building a business and based on basically one product, it's got to be challenging. You've been at it over a year now.
Yeah.
And where do people get your stuff?
Well, the whole business started, the idea started in 2009. I launched the business about a year and a half ago, in early 2012. And the products are available worldwide on our website, thegraceship.com. I ship around the country and also internationally. I ship a lot to Australia, Canada, the UK. It's a very niche product, so I think people are looking, they're willing to spend extra money for shipping, and it's proof that people are looking for something like this.
And I have no idea what's a bag like this cost?
$189.
$189. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
is it high, middle, low?
It's what I would call. I mean, fashion. It's all what I think people are willing to pay for, and I pride myself on creating a quality product, but at an attainable price point. It's definitely not cheap, but mm-hmm. it's good craftsmanship. And
and they're made where?
They're made in China. We make them about 4 hours outside of Shanghai.
Wow. And so you had to go over there and set all that up?
Yeah, I went over there.
It had to be very exciting.
It was exciting. I can't wait to go back, actually. I loved it. I loved Hong Kong. I actually named all the bags after cities that I enjoy. So Hong Kong is actually a style that's in the works. But it was fascinating to be over there.
So there's some Louisville knapsack raggedy.
A lot of people have asked me from Louisville, like, when are you going to have a Louisville bag? But of course, the Louisville bag will have to be red. I'm a big Cards fan. Uh-huh. But there's no, I don't know, I'm a very neutral color person. I don't know. I don't really have a desire for a big red, bright bag. I like stuff that's more neutral, complimentary of, more outfits. So.
Okay.
We'll see.
So you've created this thing, and your product is available online. You've got some retail.
We do some retail, but due to the price point, especially being new, I really like to ship online. Obviously, my margins are higher. I sell on a wide variety of online retailers: Amazon, Etsy, eBags, AT, mm-hmm. Wayfair. Right now, I'm a finalist for Zappos contest. Fingers crossed.
Oh.
A contest gown. Yeah. I briefly saw something about that on your site, but I didn't understand what it was. What are you trying to do with the? What kind of contest were they having?
Oh well, we did have. I don't know. Is it still on there? I hope it's. I did have a contest where I gave away a trip to Mexico. It was called the Bag of Free Trip Sweepstakes.
So I didn't win.
Yeah, it was last summer. But I think it was a really cool sign-up page that we had, so that might have been what you saw. I'm not sure.
Okay. But, so anyway, the products are available online, and certainly like here at the Butchertown, what's this place
and
called?
Work the Metal, which is inside Butchertown Market.
I've seen a few. Now, where's the business go from here? I mean, obviously you want to make more sales. Other products, anything like that come along?
Sure. I think, I just had a meeting this morning with UPS just trying to talk about where, logistics planning, where I'm going from here, things like that. I'm still not all the way sure. I think I'm just now getting to the point where I actually know what I'm doing. I spent the first year really learning a lot about what not to do, like, oh, we're never doing that again, making a lot of scripts, but that's part of the fun and kind of the craziness of running your own business. And now I'm just getting comfortable, and sales have really, they've spread quite quickly. I sold a bag recently to Megan McCain, who is John McCain's daughter.
Oh, cool.
And that was exciting. They're starting to get noticed, which is great because I spent a lot of time on the designs.
Well, there's got to be some other famous people. What about your other girls in Southern Bells? Are they all
of course, them around of now? Course, of course.
Let's talk about who other. Now I know Julie. I see her on Facebook. She's doing stuff. But what's everybody else from the show doing?
Hadley recently got married, and she just got back from her honeymoon in Greece. They went to Italy and Greece, and then Shay is just being fabulous. Shay, I think you never really. No, what Shay is up to. She's a very close friend of mine. And then Kelly is actually in Hawaii. She's out there doing a lot of nutrition and I guess.
Yeah, I wish we had time to go back and talk about the plot lines and, do a Where Are They Now with Southern Bells. That'd be fun. But, one thing, Emily, I know you come by your entrepreneurship, honestly, in your family. Maybe you can talk about that. I know your dad is. His business right out there in Riverport where I work. And he's an entrepreneur, right, of sorts?
Well, my dad did start a company a while ago. They actually sold it. His company that my family's business is Atlas Machine and Supply. My great-grandfather started that in 1907. Wow. So it's been around, I don't know, do the math, 105 years or so,
yeah.
106 years. But there was another company that my dad did start. But he's also... But that's they sold that section of the business off. He's also just a great leader and really, I think, made Atlas what it is today, which is one of the largest businesses of its kind in the country. And so he's great to have, that knowledge to pick his brain every now and then.
Give me a little advice on entrepreneurship.
But he doesn't really know anything about handbags or or even, e-commerce. So.
Nor do I. I'm a little trying to think, what can I ask about a handbag? But... I'm sure they're great. I've seen them. They look nice. But let's talk about media for just a second. Were you able to just get out of that with no regrets and walk away, or do you ever think you'll go back to any sort of media work?
Well, I kind of consider Grayship to be my media company now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, as you know, the whole model of content versus advertising, content advertising, is completely... becoming obsolete. We're in a very TiVo, immediate, instant gratification kind of world. So I think brands can also be some very powerful media companies. You see some of the biggest brands in the world becoming sources of information and content. I think it instills trust with your audience and your, the people that are listening to you or buying from you, if you are a source of knowledge and authority to them.
Okay.
So it's kind of how I see it. I think that this landscape...
So you have some things on your site besides...
Yeah, we have content. We do a lot of interviews and features. And I think, just marketing as a whole is content. So I think it's very, this landscape of media as we know it is changing so rapidly. It's very difficult to, understand where it's going to be even, 5 years
from
now.
You think you're done with TV as a reporter or... entertainment correspondent or whatever you
I think it's much more challenging now what I do and I love I love what I do. So
okay. Well, I've got the idea for you for your business.
Okay.
A man bag.
Okay.
Okay. So let's.
What is
get
the man
bag?
What is the man bag mean?
Well, a computer case for okay. a man that is fashionable, right?
Okay. What color?
Red.
Red?
I want you to make me one just for me. You know, okay. I'll pay you $189.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, we've had a lot of requests. I've also had a lot of requests for diaper bags, believe it or not.
Really?
It
seems like there's a whole line of bags. People carry stuff around.
Yeah.
Right? And so make them look good.
That's my job. That's my job. Yep.
All right. Well, Emily, with the Gray Ship, thanks for coming on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's been delightful visiting with you down here in Butchertown. And good luck. Tell our audience again where they can find your stuff.
Sure. Our bags are available worldwide on our website, thegrayship.com, as well as Amazon and Etsy.
Big thank you to Emily and to Mark Carter for appearing on the show this week. Very excited about next week, Thanksgiving week. We will have a show, but on Thanksgiving Day, and I'm headed down to New Orleans, the Big Easy, where my son lives. And my son, I will tell you, for those of you interested at all, is the guy who came up with the name Rusty Satellite. And his name is Nick. He's living in New Orleans. He's trying to break into the film industry. He's a fascinating young man, very creative, and just really proud of him. And looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him since Christmas. So me and his two brothers are packing up and going down to New Orleans for the weekend for several days. And so looking to have some fun down there, and hopefully we might listen to some old Rusty Satellite shows on the way down or back or whatever. But anyway, we will be back with another show next week, and look forward to it. Thank you all for listening and sharing the Rusty Satellite Show. A word is spreading. I keep hearing new people who have heard of the show and know what's going on. If you have an idea for the show, if you know somebody that ought to have on as a guest, please let me know. And I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. What the hell?